So this one's about a similar thing, Jupyter with R notebooks. And so around this time last year, I got an email from a friend of mine who directed me to a preprint of a paper that was the motivation for like all of this. And that was, these guys were just starting a geoscience, computer science course for geologists who, you know, don't do computer science at all in undergrad. And they decided to guinea pig their entire class. So for 5 years, they tracked the performance of their students' assessment of their own performance, and documented the types of teaching iterations that they did for the 5 years. And I'll have a link to this later on so you can see it. So they did it, they used Python, but I think it's applicable to us. For example, in the business school environment, I would have loved to have something like this available in class to learn from while I was learning concepts and simultaneously learning R. We're gonna fast forward to the very last iteration of what they did, and the thing that worked the best for them was a flipped classroom format, which means that you have the students read ahead of time, like the content, and show up to class already prepared a little bit. And then they alternate 15 minutes of worked examples with actual in-class workshops where the students do the code. And they have a 3-hour class, and they just keep on going. So that was the most effective way that they taught. So one thing that they highlighted in their paper was sticky notes that they used. So they gave all the students sticky notes, and they would break into the sessions. So they'd do the lecture for 15 minutes, break, and they'd have sticky notes. They'd flag like a red one on their laptop if they had a question, so they wouldn't have to sit like this the entire time waiting for the TA to show up. And then they'd put a green one on when they were done to show that they had successfully completed the thing, and then the lecturer would understand that it's time to move on. And then at the end of the course, every lecture, they would put a positive statement on the red green one and a negative one on the red one about like the way the class went today, and then put that in as they exit the class so that the lecturer gets feedback every single session about how they did. Everyone who has a laptop, please go to this website. You can see a demo of how the Jupyter notebooks work live. And it does the same, a similar thing as the last speaker's presentation. It allows a student to execute code with a preloaded data set and preloaded libraries off of their own laptop. So they don't have to have R loaded at all. They use Jupyter. How many people know what Jupyter is? Okay, great. So Jupyter is a web application that interacts with the server backend and presents in JavaScript a way to live execute the code. And then the code is executed on the server backend. So this is a markdown cell, and you can just edit it, and then shift enter to edit it. You can do this right now because it's live if you want. So in the future, you could give a tutorial like this at a conference like this with live code so that everyone else could see what you're doing.
Oh, careful, babe.
Thank you. So for example, there's a new library here that doesn't exist except for in this spreadsheet, and it's the data set from the appendix of the paper that these guys had so that you can explore their course assessments and stuff. So if I run this, shift enter to run it, you can do it yourself too. So now you've loaded this into memory. You can shift enter and see the data set. So this is the performance, the mean marks. Mark is the grade in British, right? So their average class final exam score was 50%, and the distribution was like totally flat, like it was everywhere. As they iterated, so the next thing that they did, year 2011, was added 3 hours of lab course that the instructors did, which got performance up, but then the instructors thought, there's no way we can handle this. So the year after that, they thought, well, let's try MOOC style. So they recorded themselves in little YouTube videos and then played the videos. The students hated it. So the students would play it on their own in class and then work so that in the presence of a teacher who would give them feedback and help on the worked examples. Then year 4, the one with the highest performance at the end, so that the test was always the same, approximately same concept, same level of difficulty, got a high score for these students, and they stopped with the MOOC style because the students hated it, and instead they gave written lecture notes. So kind of like the data camp, they would just give them text and then have them execute and then walk around the class to help people if they needed help. And that got high scores for the students. They learned very well, but they hated that their teacher was there and not teaching them, lecturing in front of them. They're like, I paid all this money for a university. Why the hell is my teacher not talking to me? So the last one was where they did the lectures that I talked about. And here you can see the plot. This is from their online performance evaluations. It's freezing. Okay, there. And you can see, so 2012 was the MOOC year, and their scores were pretty bad. Everyone hated them. And then the last year was the one with the post-it notes that everyone loved, and the lectures flipped with 30 minutes of work example. Okay, so I'm gonna go back. You can continue to look at this if you want the data, if you wanna see their class data, and talk to them because they're pretty friendly. Okay, so the benefits of the Jupyter Notebook is a preloaded library that the students don't have to load. You can do stuff interactively with them and teach directly to the concepts rather than dealing with R. You don't have to have like 15 minutes in class with a student who didn't prepare, now has to figure out how to get stuff done. Okay. Now this is a presentation environment, not a coding environment. So I have friends who are consultants who have attempted to implement this teaching like in a corporate setting. And what you get is if you do small snippets, is people like just hitting the button like at a casino, right? Like go, 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 go. And they don't even understand what the hell has just happened. They're just going, going, going. So you've got to, if you're gonna do it like these guys did in their paper, where you've got like a big exercise to do and they have to actually think and do it. And the other thing is, this is not something that students should use to develop. I tutor as well, and a student of mine has only interacted with Jupyter Notebooks for Python, and he has no concept that code executes sequentially. He just doesn't understand. So you need like the regular R environment, or else you have no idea what the students are gonna, you know, get if this is their first interaction with the computer. I mean, I think the 10-to-1 ratio for grad students or 1-to-10 ratio of grad students to class can be relaxed because this was an undergraduate class, and like in business school maybe or something, people can help each other, maybe be paired with people of different skills. And now like everyone's being taught computer programming like at age 7 or something. So, okay, so if you wanna do this yourself, you need to both create the notebook, which is the IPython format, not R Markdown, and you need to be able to serve it. So Anaconda is a commercial redistribution of Python that bundles all of this. You can just download it and then do a simple like command to download from their repository, and it's free and fine unless you're using it for commercial use. And it has an R repository for R libraries that you can add. You can upload your own, everything. So this is as easy as it is. Again, there are links to all of this later on my GitHub. So it's just a few lines, right? So conda create, and what it does is it creates this environment here. I named it Jupyter IR kernel, but it's just a separate folder that's gonna have all of the R stuff installed sub down there. And then when you activate, so install from the repository here, when you activate, then you will basically prepend the new path to your path so that now it's looking for R in there. So that's how it does it. So then you'll open it up, make your notebook in the web browser, and save it, and it's in this JSON format. It doesn't look anything pretty like the R Markdown. And like in one of the talks before, one of the keynotes, right? Like it's not version control happy. It looks like ass inside. But this is what you get when you're working with this, with Jupyter and R. Okay, so when you're serving out of Docker containers. Does everyone know what Docker is? So Docker is like a user space virtualization. So you have like the operating system, you have the kernel, and then you have everything else. And Docker compartmentalizes everything else basically in a subdirectory, and then changes. It's like change root, if you know Unix change root command. But as far as we're concerned, it's an application. It allows you to have multiple installations of the same thing, taking up less space because they layer it on top of each other, and it only uses the layer that on the bottom once. Okay, so you just install it, right? And then it has a repository and a hub, too, where people put their own images. The Jupyter project is very well funded. Like, Microsoft gave it $1 million or something, and other people gave it lots of money. So they've created, like, all kinds of extra tools to be able to do this stuff, basically by pulling from their repository and then running a command on the command line that serves it. Okay, so you build the image, run there. Okay, so this is what a Docker file looks like. This is the entire Docker file I had to serve that notebook that I showed you. Just this. So there's a hub that stores a base notebook that has already pre-installed R. using the Anaconda distribution, and that's the Jupyter R notebook. It's in Jupyter's web account on Docker Hub, and it's the title of it is called R notebook. And then I copied my data set, right? And then I copied my notebook that I was just presenting, and then I run to install it and delete it, and that's it. So these are Docker commands from copy run. It's not that hard. I mean, you can just copy it. You don't need to almost read the instructions. Okay. And this NB user was defined in the previous Docker file, so you don't see it defined, but that's because it exists in this notebook. Okay, which is, you can see it's open source, it's available online. Okay, so then you have to build your image, and that's just one line command, just Docker build. Okay, and then, and then there's another command that's long, that's like lots of code. But you just copy and paste it from their instruction site, and then you have a server running, basically. And then if you want security, you have to like do stuff on the front of it that's a little bit more painful, but you're fine. Okay, so this is there are two takeaways from this. There's this guys who assessed their own teaching for 5 years and found a good way to teach code to people who don't code, and that is like the alternating of hands-on work in class, like lots of hands-on work, 30 minutes to 15 minutes of teaching. With pre-reading ahead of time. And then the other one is that you can use Jupyter Notebooks in class for this. There's a thing called Jupyter Hub that's better for class settings. And then there's the thing that I showed, which was TempNB for conferences or stuff like that, where you don't want people to have user accounts or save their stuff. And so this is the platform is Jupyter. Or this new R thing that sounds a lot cooler and more integrated with R. Once you can do it on your own server, but if you need your own data or your own package, then this is a way to do it right now. Okay, so because of the R Diversity Initiative, I was able to come, and because of you guys' kind accommodation, nobody seemed to mind too much that my mom was walking around everywhere in the middle of talks and stuff. So thank you, and here are these references. The Jupyter Rocks site will only be up for a little bit because I'm paying for it, so all those servers are mine. But the slides will be up, and then this Teach with Jupyter paper, I made a short link for it for this guy's paper. And he's very easy to talk to, so if you want to learn more about his teaching style, go for it. Cool. No, it was IPython, and then in 2014 it got broken off, and it's now a separate project.
But I can use it to code in any language? Right. Is that sort of what the deal is?
Yeah, also, did I not have the IR kernel, some person whose name I forgot, did all the hard work to integrate it with R. So now there's the front end, which is this markdown plus code execution thing, and it sends it back to somewhere, and what happens... Right, there's just a protocol for how it happens. Yeah, and then whatever somewhere is going to be how good your interface is. And so the IR kernel is what implements that. There's a Julia kernel, there's a Ruby kernel, Haskell kernel. So if you want to do any code, yeah. So the question was how to move my R markdown stuff into a Jupyter notebook. Honestly, I would use Mechanical Turk and pay somebody in another country like 5 cents an hour. Like, yeah.
Any other question? So maybe let's cool. Thank